This episode is part of the Pool's Local Officials Stronger Together podcast series. It's one way we serve local officials through integrity, public service, fiscal responsibility, and operational excellence. As always, please direct specific questions about coverage to your member services manager.
Welcome to episode 25 in the Risk Pool Stronger Together podcast series. In recent years, we've heard lots of information about what's driving rates, and I spoke with Jeff Thompson, the pool's executive director, about some of those rate drivers, including the pandemic, winter storm Uri, inflation, and supply chain issues in the previous episode, episode 24. In this episode, I'll be visiting with Lindsay Fields, the pool's deputy director and COO, about another rate driver and a very important piece of the coverage puzzle, and that's reinsurance. So let's get right into it. Welcome, Lindsay, and thanks for being here today.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, I want to jump right in and ask you some questions about reinsurance. I think the first thing we need to ask is, what is reinsurance, and can you tell us where and how the pool purchases reinsurance?
Sure. So simply put, reinsurance is insurance for pools or insurance companies, and the pool purchases reinsurance to support the property program with the high claim occurrences or catastrophic losses, but it also purchases it to support the cyber program.
Okay, got it. So tell me how it works with those programs. Let's start with cyber first.
Sure. The pool cyber program was authorized by the Board of Trustees in 2016 to provide cyber liability and data breach coverage through a reinsurance agreement with Beasley, which Beasley is a well-known cyber insurance firm. And it's a quota share reinsurance agreement, meaning Beasley and the pool take a certain percent of all contribution and losses. And what's great about it is that Beasley provides a turnkey reinsurance program that is intended to complement and round out the pool's cyber offering. So they can bring resources to bear immediately if a member has a breach. So it's important to know to remember to call the pool first if you get hurt. But it is customized to meet the pool's needs and the needs of the members and to assist with the underwriting, the coverage, and the claim services as well.
Okay, got that. Now, what about property?
So the pool purchases property reinsurance and has for over 20 years, and we've increased the amount purchased to now up to $300 million in limits per occurrence. And an occurrence is broadly defined as, you know, any one event that hits many members of the pool at once. And the purchasing of the property reinsurance, it's an exercise of risk tolerance and capital adequacy goals. In other words, the pool's Board of Trustees, you know, with input from us, the staff, they decide what we think could happen over a fund year and then make sure we have enough funds and reinsurance to handle that sort of like a doomsday scenario. And the pool's purchase of reinsurance up to $300 million, it reduces the amount of capital and equity we need to hold in order to support that risk profile. So it's important to note that the choices the board makes are guided by an actuarial study that assesses the likelihood and impact for any one event. So just to give you an idea on the level of reinsurance we purchased, that $300 million in limits, the winter storm a few years ago was about $80 million in claims, and Hurricane Harvey was around $100 million. And then Hurricane Ike back in 2008 was around $38 million in claims. So in other words, the pool and its members, they're well protected from these large catastrophic events.
So it sounds to me like, as a layperson, instead of us, the pool, having to build up this massive amount of member equity, some huge amount, we really rely on the insurers to come in for those catastrophic losses to help us and our members out.
That's right. Yeah. And it's because these reinsurance markets, they have more capital flexibility than we do, and they can use capital more efficiently than given the pool's limited investment options.
Right. And when you say limited investment options, I think what you mean is that with some exceptions related to workers' compensation, death claims, long tail claims, we, just like our members, cities and others, invest according to the Public Funds Investment Act, right?
Yes. So by us renting the capital through purchasing of reinsurance, the pool's able to be more efficient with the amount of the capital it holds. But it is important to remember, you know, cycles in the market, such as moving from a soft to a hard market, supply and demand pressures, and overall pricing changes, it means the pool's reinsurance optimization, it is a year-to-year consideration.
And I'm learning that as I go. There's a lot of year-over-year things that we have to look at to make sure that we've got the money we need and we've got the reinsurance we need to make sure that members are taken care of. So what did you see this year in the property reinsurance market for this year's renewal? And what does that mean for the pool? And what does it ultimately mean for our members?
Yeah, we saw a significant increase in property reinsurance this year with the pool spending 52% or $15 million more than we did last year. And it's because we're in a very hard market. And honestly, we have been for a couple of years now. What we're seeing is these reinsurance markets, they haven't been this unsettled for at least 25 years.
Well, I've been here for 2 years at the pool, but I still consider myself by far a newbie. And there's lots of terms that I hear that I think maybe members might not understand because I didn't understand them when I first heard them. So let me interject and just say, I want to be sure members understand what a soft market is and what a hard market is. In a soft insurance market, that means that rates are staying the same or they're decreasing, and that a member or an entity can easily find coverage and purchase it. By contrast, during hard market conditions, rates are consistently rising and the coverage is more difficult to find. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. So let's go ahead.
No, that's a good point. So we're in the hard market. And so what we're seeing, Scott, is that supply is diminished and many buyers are finding themselves in a position right now needing to buy more reinsurance to stabilize their balance sheets. So as we all know, with diminished supply and increasing demands, it means the increase in pricing, even for the same level of reinsurance you're purchasing. We recently saw that in the pool's reinsurance renewal this year. But thankfully, the good news is we've developed these deep partnerships with some of the markets that provide coverage for the pool for over 20 years. And so these markets, they believe in the mission and the structure of the pool. And so because of that, we were able to find the needed capacity to fill the pool's reinsurance structure and placement this year.
So tell me that, I think that talks a lot about property. Tell us what you've seen in the cyber market. And I think this is the most interesting thing that the insurance world has seen in a long time. And I'm really interested in working with our staff to figure out how we best protect members from cybersecurity threats.
So for the cyber market, you know, we've seen a couple of years of hard market in the reinsurance world as well, as they're trying to figure out really how to underwrite cyber risks and exposures. The previous year, we've seen a lot of carriers pulling out of the cyber market, but there's always try to look for the good news. So the good news here is we have seen recently an improvement in capacity being offered as they get a better grasp on what the risk is and how to price it. The difficult part of cyber insurance is how new this risk is and how quickly it's changing. The historical data on losses and trends, they just don't go back very far compared to historical data you could get from on property insurance losses and trends. And what they're saying is it's really hard to underwrite what you don't know can or will happen.
And one of the things that a lot of folks fear is a system-wide type of a cyber attack that could affect multiple members across many geographic regions and all different types, which is something that's really scary. And what you just said, Jeff, our executive director, mentioned in episode 24. So we don't have much of a history with cyber. So what does that mean the plan is? How do we go forward?
We can see, if we look back at our cyber coverage that's evolved in the Pulse program, you know, back starting in 2016, what really began as a program that recognized just an emerging risk over 7 years ago, it's expanded to a more robust program with more risk, more losses, and increased costs that are continuing to increase yearly. So, for example, the price charged through the pool's reinsurance agreement for the base limit cyber coverage, it's increased by 87% since the start of the program. And the pool's cyber loss ratio has gone from 34% in 2017 to now up to 76% in the current fund year. And it's just another important thing to note. The upcoming fiscal year will be the first year the pool actually charges members for that base level limit of coverage. And another point that you mentioned a minute ago, you know, another concern we've seen in the cyber reinsurance market is that municipal cyber business is not seen as a good risk due to the poor loss history and the concerns regarding the amount of software programs that are utilized by many municipalities. And so that there's this risk of many members getting hit simultaneously.
Right. That's the scary part. Jeff mentioned that as well. We just have no idea whether a claim could hit cities and other local governments and even state and federal government across the board. Many cities and other governmental entities use the same type of software for various aspects of their administration. So that could be something that could pose a system-wide type threat.
That's right. And however, you know, Beasley is becoming a leader in the cyber market world, and we have a strong partnership with them to help the pool continue to serve the membership with a cyber coverage program. And that's really critical to have as we continue to navigate the future of the cyber program and really strategically build the pool's capacity to meet the membership's need for cyber coverage.
This is really good stuff, and I think it's really important for the members to hear and understand that we work not just with our funds, but also reinsurers to make sure that they're taken care of. Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on?
Yeah, Scott. So though we've had a rough few years in terms of reinsurance renewals for the pool, like I said, I like to end on good news. The good news is that the partnerships we've built with the pool's reinsurers over the years has helped to get the placement the pool needs to support the membership. And we're able to absorb a really good bit of the increases in price and adjust over time rather than passing it all to the members in 1 year. And that really helps meet our mission of rate stability for the membership.
This is all such good stuff. Thank you so much for your thoughts today. Now, you know, I said earlier, I've been with the pool for around 2 years now, and I'm still learning about all of this. And I think it's critical for our members to understand, from a high level at least, that essentially we've got their backs. We're here to make sure that they're taken care of. And I guess on any cyber episode, we'd be remiss if we didn't say, think before you click. Whenever you get a link or an email that comes in, always think before you click and always out of band authenticate any requests for financial transactions that you might get. So we always want to throw that in there to raise member awareness. Okay, that's it. Hope to visit with everyone again soon.
To review written materials associated with the presentation or to ask Scott a question, please visit www.tmlirp.org and click on the Stronger Together podcast link. Please remember that the information in this episode is provided for informational purposes only and doesn't constitute legal advice. We recommend that you review the podcast and the accompanying written materials with your attorney prior to taking action.